Rhyme 7. This is Captain Setby, is?
Just put a call through to him, sir.
Thank you.
No, just put a call through to him. You're going to hold.
I didn't understand what you said.
I said, just put a call through to him. Can you hold a minute?
Oh, yes. Righto.
Who's speaking again?
Captain Morris Seddon, S-E-D-D-O-N. He knows me.
Captain Seddon.
Seddon, S for sugar, E, double D for dog, O-N. Seddon.
Seddon.
That's it.
Okay, sir. Hold on, please.
Hello, it's Morris Seddon. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. Just off to Greece, actually.
Oh, you're going on holiday?
Yes, taking some furniture to our house there. Yep.
Oh, I see. Are you going today?
Tomorrow, actually.
I see. Well, forgive me troubling you in the Aufbruch, as it were, but the thing is, William English, who you know, has consulted me in despair. He has, in effect, invoked my assistance. Let me explain the situation. On the one hand, in financial terms, I'm the merest grain of sand on the beach. I'm as poor as a church mouse. Yet in other respects, I am extraordinarily well connected, and I have certain abilities in getting quite phenomenal results in terms of speeding things up in many fields. Now, to give you an example of something that happens relatively frequently and happened as recently as about 10 days ago, supposing a user of wireless communication has a breakdown of a telecom line to their control point, and they try through all normal means to get it right, and after 14 days or more, the thing still isn't working, and all normal means have broken down, they then refer the matter to me as a sort of, as something, an Unicum, ganz auf Deutsch. And this Unicum is then engaged to deal with the matter, with the result that within 22 hours the thing is working again. And this happens not once, but it happens often, and it happens in many fields. Now, I have never, ever had the problem before of dealing with a tardy and lackadaisical surveyor. I know absolutely nothing about surveyors. But I'm very much a ginger merchant and a go-getter, and in that I have been invoked to do this thing, I'm going to do my absolute damnedest, and I shall stop at no limit to get the thing put right. But before I do anything, I wanted to consult with you and make sure that the situation as I have been told it by William English really is the case. Sorry?
By all means.
Yes.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. That's Resonance 104.4 FM. You just heard Captain Beefheart, first of all, an early track by Captain Beefheart, followed by the inimitable Captain Seddon on the telephone to somebody who should remain nameless. And coming up next, a variety of tracks, some poetry by Muriel Rukeyser, a Bertolt Brecht track. And first of all, a new sort of EP, which I just picked up the other day, called Collaborations between Bishop Allen, The Microphones, Golden Boots and Palio, and a 1940s Webster Chicago wire recorder. And these songs were recorded live to a 1940s Webster wire recorder. Wire recorders were originally invented in the late 1800s. And recorded sound to a hair-thin strand of stainless steel wire. This was the predecessor to magnetic tape as a recording medium. The wire is extremely fragile and fickle, and the machine itself adds certain audio elements to the recording. Pitch shifts, bleed over from previous recordings on the reused wire, a clanking sound from the cylinders turning, tonal colourings and distortions, etc. These elements very much colour and contribute to the recordings. Therefore, this record is considered a collaboration between the artists and this antiquated machine. Well, this is on a sort of single-sized EP, which ordinarily you would imagine would be 45 RPM, but of course it's perversely 33 RPM without saying so, but I managed to work that one out. So we'll start with side A of this EP. The vinyl is sort of, has been, I don't know what you call it, dyed or something, so it actually looks dusty, even the record looks dusty. Okay, here we go.
Lift up what's happening here, Marie? But the blue dress looks good on you, Marie. So it'll be white for me, it'll be blue for you. It'll be white for me, it'll be blue for you. And if it's blue for you, it'll be white for me. And if it's blue for you, it'll be white for me. Oh, Marie. Oh, Marie. Oh, Marie. Oh, Marie.
Fast in its overfall, slips down the rock, evades the pillars, building its colonnades, repairs in stream and standing wave, retains its seaward green, broken by obstacle rock, falling, the water sheet spouts, and the mind dances excess of white, white brilliant function of the land's disease. Many spanned, lighted, the crest leans under concrete arches and the channeled hills, turns in the gorge towards its release. Kinetic and controlled, the sluice urging the hollow, the thunder, the major climax. Energy, total and open watercourse, praising the spillway, fiery glaze, crackle of light. Cleanest velocity, flooding, the molded force. I open out a way over the water. I form a path between the combatants. Grant that I sail down like a living bird, power over the fields and pool of fire. Phoenix, I sail over the phoenix world. Diverted water. The fern and fuming white ascend in mist of continuous diffusion. Rivers are turning inside their mountains. Streams line the stone, rest at the overflow lake, and in lanes of pliant color lie. Blessing of this innumerable silver, printed in silver. Images of stone walk on a screen of falling water. In film silver, in continual change, recurring colored, plunging with the wave. Great power flying deep between the rock and the sunset, the caretaker's house and the steep abutment, hypnotic water fallen and the tunnels under the moist and fragile galleries of stone, mile long under the wave. Where the snow fall, the quick light fall, years of white cities fall, flood that this valley built falls slipping down the green turn in the river's green, steep gorge, the wedge of crystal in the sky. How many feet of whirlpools? What is a year in terms of falling water? Cylinders, kilowatts, capacities, continuity, epsilon Q equals zero, equations for falling water, the streaming motion, the balance sheet of energy that flows passing along its infinite barrier. It breaks the hills, cracking the ridges wide, runs through electric wires, it comes warning the night, running among these rigid hills, a single force to waken our eyes. They poured the concrete and the columns stood, laid bare the bedrock, set the cells of steel. A dam for monument was what they hammered home. Blasted and stocks went up. Insured the base, and limousines wrote their own graphs upon roadbed and lifeline. Their hands touch mastery. Wait for defense, solid across the world. Mr. Griswold, a corporation is a body without a soul. Mr. Dunn, when they were caught at it, they resorted to the methods employed by gunmen, ordinary machine gun racketeers. They cowardly tried to buy out the people who had the information on them. Mr. Mark Antonio, I agree that a racket has been practiced, but the most damnable racketeering that I have ever known is the paying of a fee for the very attorney who represented these victims. That is the most outrageous racket that has ever come within my knowledge. Miss Allen, Mr. Jesse J. Ricks, the president of the Union Carbide and Carbon Corporation, suggested that the stockholders had better take this question up in a private conference. The dam is safe, a scene of power. The dam is the father of the tunnel. This is the valley's work, the white, the shining. High, 111. Low, 61.25. Stock and dividend in dollars. Union Carbide, 320. Open, 67.25. High, 69.5. Low, 67.25. Last, 69.25. Net change, plus 2/3. Closing, bid, 69.25. Ask, 69.125. Sales, 3,400. The dam is used when the tunnel is used. The men and the water are never idle, have definitions. This is a perfect fluid, having no age nor hours, surviving scarless, unaltered, loving rest, willing to run forever to find its peace in equal seas, in currents of still glass, effects of friction, to fight and pass again, learning its power, conquering boundaries, able to rise blind in revolts of tide, broken and sacrificed to flow resumed, collecting eternally power, spender of power, torn, never can be killed, speeded in filaments, million, its power can rest and rise forever, wait and be flexible, be born again. Nothing is lost, even among the wars, imperfect flow, confusion of force. It will rise. These are the phases of its face. It knows its seasons, the waiting, the sudden. It changes. It does not die.
Heart's too precious to break, so drink of love of mine for Jesus' sake.
I have been asked to introduce this, the second of the exclusive recordings made by the Book Society. I do so acutely conscious that Brendan Behan would find far funnier than the stories he tells here the fact that anyone should have to speak on his behalf. Brendan often needed a helping hand under the elbow after he'd been repeatedly raising it, but never before a helping voice. He wasn't just a one-man band, he was a one-man party. In pubs all over the Western Hemisphere, I used to listen to him spouting and bellowing and crooning yarns like this by the hour, with interludes for a song, a dance, and possibly a scrap with a stubbornly competitive talker. But of course, Brendan can't do his own introduction, because after being on half a dozen deathbeds in the past 5 years, and rising to booze and beguile again, he really did die in March this year, leaving behind a gap greater than his own bulging frame and big heart. Despite his truculence, he was remorseful about the rough stuff he committed as an IRA gunman. He told me once, only a lunatic boasts of taking a human life. Essentially, I'm a very gentle and amiable person. So he was. The only people he hated were wet blankets who dampened the blaze of life. He believed ferociously in kindliness. He would punch anyone on the nose who advocated violence. The pity is, the body of written work remaining of this rogue elephantine talent is meagre. He was a wonderful writer with a racy poetical style, but he preferred direct human contact, spontaneity on gusts of whiskey fumes, to the lonely, gruelling job of putting words on paper. Writing takes up drinking time, he once said to me. And on another occasion, as we walked pubwards along a Dublin street, this part-time terrorist and part-time house painter caught my arm and said, "Now there's my most immortal words, probably the most powerfully influential that any writer ever got through to the public." On a brick wall were the big white-painted letters he'd once had to execute, "No parking."
There's a firm in Dublin called Messrs. Pollock, who are tailors. Once upon a time, the people who put up wooden signs came along to put a wooden sign over Messrs. Pollock. The assistant turned to the man in charge of the job, to the foreman, and said, "I'm sorry," he said, "but amongst these letters I can't find a P, I can only find a B." Oh, he said, "That won't do, we can't spell Messrs. Pollock with a B." And he said, "By the way, what was the last place we did?" "And the last place we did," he said, "was the Dublin Brickworks." In the year 1920, Henry Ford's established our first European factory. The Cork No. 1 Brigade of the IRA were conducting some operations against the British that necessitated the use of motor transport lorries, which they didn't have. So the IRA had no lorries, but Henry Ford's had plenty of them. So they went down to Ford's, a number of men, and held up the staff and the manager, and demanded, in the name of the Irish Republic, some lorries. So the manager of Ford's Works, being a very clever man, announced, "I'm sorry," he said, "you can't have any in the name of the Irish Republic," because he said, this is the property of a citizen of the United States, with whom the Irish Republic is not at war." But the commanding officer of the IRA was even more resourceful. He turned to him and wrote on a piece of paper, "Here," he said, "read that." And he'd written on it, "In the name of the Irish Republic, I solemnly do, as from this moment, declare war on the United States of America. Now," he says, "hand over them bloody lorries, quick." Another memory I have of the north of Ireland is of a Sunday morning. I was in Portrush, and I went for a picnic with my wife, and we had cold meat, tomatoes, a piece of camembert, bread and butter, some hard boiled eggs. But the one thing we lacked was a drink. Now the laws in Portrush are a bit more stringent than they are in other parts of Ireland, and a drink is not sold on a Sunday, and the pubs are shut. But I did pass a chemist's shop, which was open for a couple of hours every morning, and like a great many other chemist shops, he had wines for sale. So I went into the chemist's shop, and I said to there was an old woman behind the counter, and I said, "Excuse me, ma'am," I said, "could I have a bottle of wine?" "I'm sorry, my dear," she says, "but it's Sunday." And she says, "I couldn't sell it. First of all, it's against the law. And secondly, it's against my principles," she says. "I'm a teetotaler." "Well, madam," I said, "it's against my principles to drink anything else but wine. I'm not a Presbyterian, but as a Calatumpian." "Oh," she said, "I never heard of the Calatumpians. What are they?" "Well," I said, "they're a religion society that sooner ate the stalks of cabbage than the leaves. But another very important part of our faith, which is founded strictly on the Bible, and you as a good Presbyterian must know that wine was almost the only drink to took in biblical times." "Yes," she said, "but what about milk?"
Well, I said milk interferes with my digestion, and so I would be going against doctor's orders if I drank milk, and I'd be going against my religion if I drank tea or coffee, and I'm just about to have something to eat, and I want to drink something with it. Well, she says, I'll interfere with no man's faith. I won't interfere with man's covenant with God for the sake of any man-made law. Here's your bottle of wine.
Hearts too precious to break, so drink of and have a pint for Jesus' sake.
Der Haifisch, der hat Zähne und die trägt er im Gesicht. Und Mekiser hat ein Messer, doch das Messer sieht man nicht. An dem schönen blauen Sonntag liegt ein toter Mann am Strand. Und ein Mensch geht um die Ecke, den man Mäcki-Messer nennt. Und Schmulmeier bleibt verschwunden und so mancher reiche Mann. Und sein Geld hat Mäcki-Messer, den man nicht beweisen kann. Jenny Tauler war gefunden mit nem Messer in der Brust. Und am Kai geht Mäcki Messer, der von allem nicht gewusst. Das große Feuer in Soho, sieben Kinder und ein Kreis. In der Menge Mäcki Messer, den man nicht fragt und der nicht weiß. Und die minderjährige Witwe, deren Namen jeder weiß, wachte auf und war geschändet. Mäcki, welches war dein Preis? Wachte auf und war geschändet. Mäcki, welches war dein Preis?
talk about old times, it's not so bad. I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't believe I got so bad. At least those are good company. I can't believe it is so cold, I should get up before I get old.
Beep, beep. Badande. Dagbrott. Sångflingor. Rösten ur den nu mer än halvöppnade kofferten. Det blåser genom mig från alla stampar. Jag står och stampar. Badande.
Det blåser genom mig.
Sedermera lutad mot väggen i blåsvädret.
Där jag står.
Tätt.
Skena.
Tätt.
Spana.
Skena. Tätt. Fråga honom i bojor.
Jo.
Kunde ni veta det?
Vilken tvåg?
Vadå för fåglar?
Vilken då buss?
Får jag gnaga på dig?
Jag undrar vad han menar. Välja, krossa, mala, skrapa,
välja, krossa, mala, skrapa, skorra,
välja, krossa, mala, skrapa, välja. Fyra gånger varje dag, det var han säker. Det blåser genom mig från alla håll där jag står och stampar. Baktala. Det var han säker. Boktala. Till exempel, det bokblåser genom bok mig, bok från, bok alla håll, bok där bok jag står, bok, bok och stampar bok.
Det blåser genom
stamp, kvitter. Det var han säker. Gånger. Fyra gånger. Dag.
Dagbrott. Sångflingor.
Flutta i rosaska.
Framförallt inga anvisningar.
Korprot.
Det borde framgå av sammanhanget. Diverse gluggar. Att smita.
Smita.
Genom. Alla kommer lugnt simmande överallt i blåsljus.
Och stampar.
Enligt tidigare meddelande.
Flutta i rosaska.
Baktala. Blickstilla levande fågel.
Han är så vacker.
Sångflingor.
Jag litar fullständigt.
Korprop.
På er diskussion i presentförpackning.
Tätt.
Får jag gnaga på dig?
Tätt. Får jag stampa på dig?
Tätt. Jag litar fullständigt på er diskussion.
Och stampa.
Vi är långsamt simmande i blåsljus.
Och stampa.
Under långsamma rop. Hit. Gång på gång,
ta.
Eftersom förhållandet mellan de olika luckorna förskjut.
Hit.
Ta. Häkta. Hit. Ta. Häkta. Prinssvans. Dubbelarmar. Övriga redskap. Värdesäckar. Och så kallade tecken.
Bollar.
En du då, va? Just nu. Du då, va? Va?
Du.
Nu. Du. Va? 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 Du. Va? Va? Du. Du. Va? Om du då vill vara snäll och drunkna när jag säger till.
Ropar.
Krossa. Hälsa.
Skivana.
Baktala. Lika jag sa en ankmor då länsar av du nå. Fiskvatten, badvatten, dricksvatten, tvättvatten, sjövatten, saltvatten, smältvatten, mineralvatten, bäckvatten. Nu pågår en omkastning, ett gyllene drunkningsförsök, hängande slappt i hans unga, underliga, livslevande andedräkt. sångflingor. Här vägrar han i ljusbilder gräva hem i djungel.
Här vägrar han i ljusbilder.
Röstfönster,
dagbrott,
överallt i dimman. Pratbubbla. 1. Hästfärgad, strävsam gamling. 2. Jag protesterar i blommor och på grammofon.
Hörapparat.
Om du bara vill släcka lampan och tona ner musiken.
Lite högre upp. Så där ja, i fåglarna.
Vi har funderat på det, vi tänkte nästan det. Precis det, det var vad vi gjorde. Vi tänkte nästan gå in faktiskt. Nu pågår en omkastning.
Badande.
1. Ett gyllene drynkningsfysik. 2.
Sångflingor.
Det var en fest. Det var en timme i en förort.
Nubbe.
Det var mycket senare. Vi kunde inte hjälpa det. Vi rådde inte för det egentligen.
Grum.
Det blåser igen.
Stamp, kvitter. Det var vi skulle ha gått in ifall vi vetat. Vi tänkte nästan det faktiskt.
Sie hören die Sendung Wellenlänge. Vous écoutez la transmission longueur d'onde. Udite la trasmissione lunghezza d'onde. You are hearing the transmission called wavelength.
Cantate pour protester contre l'interdiction de Mandrake. Mandrake Nardalotar Tar.
I'm